Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Man, I am breaking in a brand new Bible. I just got it yesterday. It's an NSV. But I am teasing, of course, but I got to get used to this. Yeah. Brother Smith has a pink one. It's his Queen James. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 16. I'm going to pay for that one, I can tell. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servant unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from the following, from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now, look at me. We're winding down, I think, tonight, maybe next week and the following week, are the last of the lessons on prayer. We have talked about a lot of different aspects of prayer. Very unusual approach to teaching on prayer. I haven't been going 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, here's your prayers, and here's where you go, and this is how you do it. But many different aspects of prayer. Tonight's probably the most awkward, and honestly, the one I don't want to teach. I have struggled with it. I have not wanted to do it. I've kept pushing it aside. This lesson is not for me. It's for you. But I'm going to teach a lesson tonight on how to pray for your pastor. And it's odd. It's awkward. I'm not doing it for you. Or for me, I'm doing it for you. There are blessings that come in praying for your pastor. And let me say it this way. I've had 7 different pastors in my life. And this is not something that I'm saying that I want you to do for me. I'm going to teach you what I have done with all the pastors that I have had. And some blessings that come by it. Now, you are the best people I know in the world. I mean that. There are people in this room virtually every time you see me, preachers or anything you need, Brother Bush, anything you need. Often I'll respond, nope, just keep praying, kind of a general response. Tonight I want to teach you how to pray for me. I think it will help you. Now, let me say it this way. The pastor is human like any other man. I'm not the Pope, amen. I got to laugh. I was reading the news the other day, and the Pope let loose some doves at one of his masses, and seagulls got a hold of them just after he let go of them, and they pecked him to death and killed him in front of hundreds of thousands of people. I shared it with Brother Lowther, and I texted a Bible verse with it, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And I loved it. I thought it was great. You say, oh, that's horrible. I thought it was funny. God has a sense of humor. Amen. Can I tell you something? Do you know the Pope's breath stinks when he gets up in the morning just like yours does? I'd say his hair's messed up, but I'm not sure he has anything underneath that $500,000 grapefruit on his head. But if he does, all 3 of his hairs are messed up. You say, why? He is no different than you and I. Do you know his body needs food like your body needs food? Do you know he feels pain like you feel pain? So it doesn't matter. Any pastor is the same way. We're not to deify a person. I am not God, and you ought to be glad. The only thing different between you and me is the calling. My job. I believe my job is the highest calling in the land. I'd have to step down to be president of the United States. It is doing the greatest work. Now, I say that because you got to realize there's a lot of opposition with this job. As a pastor, you face the opposition from the devil. You face opposition from evil. You face spiritual opposition. You face opposition from other shepherds. And you even face opposition, time to time, from your own sheep. It's constantly opposition. And I'll go one step farther. Most time you face opposition with yourself. You're fighting yourself. Say why? Because we're human beings. Do you know who my boss is? How'd you like to work for a perfect boss? How'd you like to work for an all-powerful boss? How'd you like to work for a boss that knows what you're thinking before you think it? That's not fair. Now, again, I'm not teaching this for me. I want you to know the joy and blessings that come with praying for your pastor. It's been my honor to work for four pastors. And I have enjoyed doing that. I never, my wife will tell you this, until 16, 17 months ago, I had never, ever entertained the thought of ever pastoring a church. Never. Wasn't even on the scope. But God has a way of changing things. And thank God he did. I'm not against it. But I realize, let me put it this way. I realized one day that I could pray for my pastor and get God to look at my pastor and look at my pastor's needs in a special way. It's kind of like if you would go to your boss and talk about the needs of another, of let's say your supervisor, and say, hey, look, I work for Joe Blow over here, and this is the owner of the company, and say, you know what, I happen to know some things he needs, and I'd like you to take care of him. And you get the owner looking at your boss, not you, and all of a sudden you'll be surprised how many blessings come your way. When you pray for your pastor, God looks at that. He not only gives special attention here, but he's going to look at you and give you special attention. There's a little bit more that goes with it than that. Now, I've studied the great men of God of the past. I mean, I've studied them. You name them, I've studied them. I've read their lives. I've read their biographies. I've read people that worked with them in their biographies. I'm talking about the Spurgeons, the Moody's, the Sundays, the J. Frank Norris's, the Lee Robertsons, the Jack Hileses, you name them, I've studied them. All of them had something in common. They all had people that prayed for them. I do not put myself in that category. I do not. But I would say this. I'd say our church is in that category. You are. Every one of those men seemed to have people that prayed for them, and the more the people prayed for them, the more God blessed the work and the people that were under them. And they just kept going in stride at all times. It's amazing how that worked. Now, I'm going to give you six statements tonight, and they'll be very practical, very simple. I don't think you'll have to write them down. They're pretty easy, but let me help you. Number one, pray for God's power and wisdom on your pastor's life. Pray for God's power and God's wisdom on your pastor's life. I wish you knew the number of decisions a pastor has to make. It's unreal. I go sometimes from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting, working with counseling, working with this, working with that, working with this, working with that. You take all the ladies' meetings. I've approved most everything that goes on there. All the men's meetings, the prayer breakfasts, the down to how many utensils we have. Amen, Brother Mark. All the food that we're serving, what's being served. I've helped make all those decisions. You take the music in our church. I know who's singing. I schedule who's singing. I know what's being sung. I know what congregational song's being sung. I know who's playing the piano or the special music for the offertories. I oversee all those things. You just take all those things alone. Then you take the Sunday school lessons and the Sunday school classes, making sure all that's done. I make sure all the ladies are cared for in the nursery, who's working when, where, what, to what extent. Then you take the counseling, all the decisions made in marriage counseling. and some of these are life and death decisions. If I don't answer right, she's going to kill him. Amen? You add to that managing all the finances of this beast, and it gets exciting. Let me tell you, there is an unbelievable amount of decisions that need made. Now, you add spring programs, fall programs, preacher's treat night, amen. That's coming up in 2 weeks, week and a half. And, all the other different things that we do around here. Now, I'm not a dictator. I don't dictate everything, but I got to know what's going on. If I don't know what's going on, good night, I'm helping to plan a wedding right now, not for my son, but for somebody that's getting married here. I just spent 35 minutes in a meeting with helping to plan a wedding. 10 minutes later, came in here to teach Wednesday night Bible study. You know how many decisions we went through in 35 minutes over a wedding? Y'all laugh about that, but for many of you, that would be a whole day's work. When my wife says, "What do you want to eat?" I don't want to make another decision. I don't care. Shove it down the hatch. You plop it out, it's going down. I don't want to decide. I've made enough decisions. Now, wait a minute. Pray for God to give me power and wisdom as I make those decisions. You have to understand, I may have gone through that 1,000 times with well over 1,000 people. But with the one I'm with, it's the first time they're going through it. If I'm not careful, I'll just make it so routine. And I never want to do that. Number two, pray for your pastor's health. I'm being selfish on this one, but this is something I have done for all my pastors. You know, pray for me not to get sick so I can take care of everybody that is. So far, knock on wood, I haven't been sick. I had a kidney stone one time since I took over this church. Had it on 4 o'clock Wednesday morning. Went to the emergency room, got shot up with drugs. I did preach that night. I do not remember what I said, but I did preach that night. And I've not been out of the pulpit for being sick. God knows. I'm not going to say it. But thus far, my daughter's the only one that's gotten the bug that's gone through. Now, if I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with it, so be it. But thus far, so good. A couple times, maybe a little bit of voice troubles, but pray for my voice. Pray for it to be strong so that it can be heard. You don't understand. My wife will tell you, I never wore a coat. I hate wearing a coat. But when you preach as much as I'm preaching right now, the first thing I do is grab a coat. I'm not kidding. It's the first thing I do. You say, why? I've got to protect my voice. If you can't hear me, what good is it? Now, some of you are saying, lose it now, lose it now. Now, wait a minute. Pray for me for strength to do the daily things that need done around here. Just the daily spiritual battles. I don't know about you. I can go out and split wood all day long. And physical, I like that. And I can get tired doing it. But boy, you fight a spiritual battle all day long. It'll put you in bed for a week if you're not careful. Now, I've been doing it so long that I got myself conditioned to it, but I hate to tell you, there's days I get weary. Pray for my mind that I get one. Pray for the mental strength, because it taxes you. Those of you that deal a lot with mental work, and I'm not talking about work, but not mental cases, but mental work where you use your mind an awful lot. Your body might not get as tired, but boy, when your mind gets tired, it's rough. And I live my life that way. My mind is constantly going. Sunday night, I finally, about 12:30, got to sleep. And by 4 o'clock or so, I was back up and my mind was just, here we go. And it just didn't slow down. That's just the way I'm wired. And I don't understand why, but it is. But pray for some mental stability. I'm okay. I promise. All right. Pray for my family to stay well. You got to understand, when my wife is sick, I think about it like you do, maybe even more than when your wife is sick. When my daughter is sick, I understand. And when my kids get sick, I understand that. When they stick their finger in the lawnmower, I know what that's like to have to go to the emergency room, and that takes time, amen? When they do other things that aren't real smart that kids do, amen? So pray for the pastor's health. Number three, pray for God to protect him. Pray for God to protect him. pray for everybody else as I drive. No, seriously, pray for protection. God has been good to me and my wife and my family. I bought my brand new car, had it, 5 weeks? I made one payment and somebody rear-ended me. You know, that is the first accident I've ever had. God's been real good at protecting me. And even at that, it was nothing. It really wasn't. Nobody hurt. No problems. I didn't even get a stiff joint out of the thing. Bummer. I didn't get to wear one of those big, ugly, I was in an accident, things. I was just glad nobody got hurt. Now, wait a minute. Pray for all of that. Pray for God to give me love and patience as I fight the evil. You don't understand something. I have to help people that are going through evil situations. That means the evil's directed at me too. And if you've ever been through something that was evil, it's not real fun and it hurts. Guess what? If I'm not careful, I can become evil fighting evil. So pray for God to protect that. I preached a sermon, I think, 2 Sundays ago about the unseen enemy. And fighting that unseen enemy, man, sometimes a pastor's fighting so many fires at one time, he's not sure what's sticking its head up to shoot at you next. So pray that there's protection there. I'm going to be very open, but pray for my spirit, my attitude. Say why? If you have more than one child, or you have a junior hire, you'll understand this statement. Have you ever been through a problem so many times that you finally lose it when somebody else goes through that problem? You're thinking, why can't you get this? I've been through this 100 times with you. Guess what? A pastor feels the same way. Here's the problem. After 25 years in the ministry, there's very few things I haven't seen. I've got to be careful that what somebody went through 10 years ago and I've been through with 500 people, I don't take my frustration out on you, and it's the first time you faced it. And I've watched people make the same mistake day after day after day after day after week after week after week after month after month after month, and I've got to be patient with them and say, God bless you, I'll help you again. God bless you, I'll help you again. And I get irritated like everybody else does. I'm just not allowed to show it. So I've got to be careful. So pray for my attitude. number four. I'll hurry through this one. this one's I taught my family how to pray for the preacher. I really did. There's very few meals my kids ever sat down to pray, and I always let my children pray at our meals. There's very few times they ever sat down at a meal and one of them didn't pray for the pastor, church night or not. Say why? Because that was just the way it was. We just always mentioned it. Say why? Because we wanted God to bless the pastor. So maybe it's at devotional time. But teach your children to pray for the preacher. It'll do several things. Number one, you'll learn to love him. Number two, your children will learn to love him. I got Brother York's family. His children bring me coffee. I was in an appointment, and I heard this little. I knew what it was. I said, excuse me, I got to go get my coffee. I got a little girl out of here. And I just know the knock. Now, I couldn't spend much time with her, but I thanked her as I took my coffee. Now, wait a minute. That's a way for somebody to say, I love you. That's teaching someone to love the bring the coffee. No, but seriously, learn to teach your family those things. It's endearing. And by the way, when you talk about praying for the preacher, listen to this statement. Don't gossip, just teach them to pray. Yeah, you better pray for that preacher because I'm about ready to tell him what I think. You're not real smart. If I felt like I disagreed with the preacher, nobody ever knew about it except the preacher because I'd go talk to him about it. Seriously. Say, have you ever disagreed with your pastor? Sure. Why shouldn't I? About 99% of the time, he was right and I was wrong. No problem. We got it fixed. Say, what about the other 1%? Sometimes we just agreed to disagree. Sometimes, very little, I was right and he wasn't. But nobody else knew that. Everybody doing okay? All right. Number five. This is going to take a little while. Pray for ways to be a blessing to him. This is something that I worked at a lot. And I mean pray. As an assistant pastor for 24-ish years, 23 and a half years, I don't think there was a day that went by that I didn't say, God, please, let me help my preacher do something today. Say why? Because, listen to this statement. If you can encourage the one who encourages you instead of discouraging the one who is supposed to encourage you, guess what? You won't dread church as much. Ladies, that'll work at home with your husband. Fellas, that'll work at home with your wife. If you quit discouraging each other and start encouraging each other, they're there to encourage you. Everybody doing okay? I know I just went from preaching to meddling real quick, didn't I? But if you'll pray for a way to be a blessing to the pastor, he's the one that in turn can encourage you. If you can help keep him encouraged, even in a little way, a cup of coffee, a bag of Skittles. You know, there's people that do those little things. Now, I don't need 14,000 more pounds of Skittles, all right? I'm trying to work off what I've already got in there. But I'm getting there. But look for ways or needs that you could fill uniquely in that light. Several of the pastors that I worked for did a lot of traveling. They would preach around the country a lot. I made sure every day that they came back into town from traveling, that there was a note under their door from me personally. I remembered hearing those men say, the hardest time for me is coming back into town because I feel like I've been gone so long. And there's just a little downtime. So I always made sure there was something positive, something encouraging. Something, I love you, preacher. Everything's going great. Glad you're back. Glad we got to share you with the country for a little while that we get every day. Something simple like that. Now, I'm not traveling, don't want to travel. I like staying home, so I'm not leaving. But just, I would do something like that. pray for his desires to be met. You know, every once in a while, I'll say, God, would you just let me know you're listening? And somebody will come by and say, preacher, I've got a cup of coffee for you. Thanks, God. I needed that. I'm not kidding. It's just something little. It doesn't have to be anything big. I'm going to step it up a little bit here. Maybe you need to pray for you to find a job around the church to do. To lighten the load. There's painting that needs done. There's cleaning that needs done. Now, don't come here on a Tuesday or a Friday when Mrs. Hess is here, or you'll get bleached to death. But I'm serious. There's plenty of things to do around here. Maybe it's helping with taking trash out. Maybe it's helping remove snow on the parking lot. Maybe it's you see something that's bothering you, well, then why don't you volunteer to help get it done? Say, well, I don't know how to do it. Come see me. I'll help you. We'll find somebody. I don't care if you just want to come and bring your kids and pick up all the dumb sucker papers up off the parking lot or whatever it is, or after the ice and snow's gone, come out here with your brooms and start sweeping the parking lot and getting all the little rocks off, get it ready for springtime. There are so many things to be done around this place. This is a huge place. There's plenty. Trust me. Say, well, I wouldn't know what to do. Look around, find out what bothers you, and then let's fix it. It's that simple. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. All right. How else could you pray to somehow encourage or lift up or be a special blessing to the pastor? Listen while I preach. I've got about two young people in here that I'd... If you were mine and were sitting near me, I'd be whapping you in the head right now. Say, why? Because you're not listening. Yeah, Cassie, jerk your brother right there. It'll be perfect, all right? Now, wait a minute. I think you need to listen to the preaching. You'd be surprised how many problems you could get fixed if you just listen. I love that verse in the book of John. I preached on it the other night about miracles a week ago Wednesday. When Mary came to the people at the miracle of changing the water to wine, and she said, whatsoever he saith, do. Wow. Some of you ought to adopt that as your life's verse. Whatsoever he saith, do. Say why? Because you think you're God? Yes, that's what I think. Come on. I am a human being like you are. I just happen to preach a perfect book and a perfect God. I happen to know enough about life and the truths of the Word of God that can change your life. Fellas, holler amen every once in a while. It won't hurt you. Okay, men, you ready? Let's practice. One, two, three. Amen. Sound like a bunch of Methodists. All right, one more time. Ready? One, two, three. Amen. That's a little better. Say, don't always know when to do it. If you feel like doing it, just holler it. Amen? There is nothing wrong with that. Every once in a while, I'm going to tell a story. Amen. Amen. Down on your level, right, Brother Ellswick? Now, I had been preaching for several years. We went to Charleston, South Carolina. I took over the youth department, started the young couples class, and a ton of other things. One of my responsibilities was we had an afternoon Sunday school program. And you have to understand, that was the deep South, okay? And in the deep South, there's certain parts of town that didn't get along with other certain parts of town. And they were much different at us, so all you had to do is look at them and you could tell how different they were. They were darker. And you didn't mix certain races down there because the Civil War was still being fought down there. I am not kidding. It's rough down there. But guess what? There's no color on a soul. and those people needed reached. Amen. Well, I took over a teen black youth department on Sunday afternoons. No lie. I started with about 25 teenagers. Girl sat on this side, guy sat on that side. The first Sunday morning Sunday afternoon I walked in there, the guy running the show was a former drill instructor for the Army. He had a teenage guy on his back on the platform doing push-ups with the teenager on his back for entertainment. Had two girls fighting, I mean fist fighting. Had two guys that got into a fist fight, and the one guy took the other guy's face and shoved it right through the sheetrock in the auditorium wall. Had a face print right in the sheetrock. Say, what did you do? I said, okay, you're not coming back, you're not coming back, you're not coming back. I just cleaned house. Them black people pulled preach out of me, let me tell you. I went from 30 down to about 15 or 20 that quick. But then we started seeing revival cut loose. And I mean, we started seeing teenagers get saved, bus routes being built. They started adding buses to the same bus routes because the teenagers were bringing people. And I mean, there were Sundays I'd have 150, 175 teenagers and adults just in the auditorium. I had more people in there than we had almost in drive-in at times. I would preach standing on the Lord's Supper table most of the time. My teenagers, my black teenagers that had gotten saved in those early days, learned the plan of salvation so well that they were bringing and walking their friends down the aisle, winning them to Christ. We were walking them back and baptizing them same day. It was not unusual to have 15, 20 people saved in a service down there. My wife will tell you, we went soul winning down in the streets in the summertime because it would be light enough for us to take teenagers down there once or twice a summer. I would not knock on a door. I'd walk down the middle of the road, and there were teenagers bringing mamas and daddies and cousins and aunts and uncles out in the street, having me win them to Christ out in the middle of the street. I wouldn't knock on a door. I'd just walk. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. Man, I'd get to preaching. I'd have some little old black grandma back here, and she's waving a hanky. Come on, come on. You turn and listen to that preacher. Come on. I mean, she's going at it. Say, what was that? Man, they get me wound up. And the more they got wound up, the more I got wound up. I'm not kidding. I had a lady, she said, I quit going to my church. I come here on Sunday afternoon. She said, your white preacher preaching harder than my black preacher does. She said, I like that. She said, I quit going there. I'm coming to your church. Come on, Grandma. Didn't bother me a bit. Say, what was that? Man, she kept me encouraged. Holler a while. Now, ladies, keep it to a minimum. respond to the preaching. You say, well, I don't feel like it. That's when you need it most. Don't be afraid to use this altar. I got one more thing on this point. Go soul winning and bring visitors to church. You want to encourage me? You want to be a blessing to me? Go soul winning and bring somebody to church with you. That is the greatest blessing you can have. I got an email today. I didn't even tell my wife about this. I was saving this for tonight. When we were in South Carolina, we had won a couple to the Lord in our couples class. They're now missionaries in Costa Rica. It's kind of neat winning somebody to Christ and watch them grow, watch them go to Bible college and watch them leave and go on the mission field. And they've started their third church, I think, on the mission field. I got an email this morning or this afternoon that said, praise God. Better look at this one. I looked at it, and he got to lead his six-year-old son to the Lord this morning. And he said, you know, when you're a missionary, sometimes you get so excited about everybody else getting saved that you forget about how sweet it is when your own get saved. I emailed him back, and I said, hey, Doc, I got one better than that. When you get an email from a missionary that you won to Christ and won his wife to Christ, and now they're winning their children to Christ, that's better than even winning your own kids to Christ. I said, keep on going. Folks, can I tell you something? Just bring somebody to church with you. Go soul winning. Number six, and I'll finish with this. send him a note about what specifically you are praying for him. Now, it could be a handwritten note, might be a text. I'm not the world's greatest texter, but I utilize it a lot. A lot of you men have gotten texts from me early in the morning or sometime through the day. Hey, thinking about you, praying for your family. Sometimes I'll say I'm praying for this in your family. Many of you folks have been going through difficulties and things, and I'll text you and see how things are going. It's not a cliche with me. I have been praying. Say, and there's times I'll say, I'm praying for this for your family, or I'm praying about this for you, or praying this for you. You say, why? Because that's exactly what I've prayed for you. I've had more than one person say, man, preacher, I can't believe you do that because, wow, I needed that at that time. Can I tell you something? It goes the other way too. Maybe it's just a note that something that was said that helped you, or something that was done that helped you. I got a text from a lady this week in our church. I read the text. I went to my office. I got on my knees and I began to weep. It just blessed me that much. Couldn't believe it. I wasn't looking for it. It just, bam, there it was. May never know how much it encouraged me. Say, made you cry? Yeah, it encouraged me that much. Amen. Maybe just write and say what you prayed for. Every Sunday morning, I text about 8-10 pastors across the country. It's real early in the morning. It's probably 5:30 in the morning, and I'll text them. I always have a little different flavor to it and different brand of it, and praying for you, praying for this, praying for that. And I always nail it. One of these yard birds one morning, it was about 5:45, he said, beat ya. He got to me before I got to him. It's become almost a little bit of a competition. One morning I had texted these men. One of the men texted me back and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I've been awake all night, discouraged. He said, I prayed and asked God if he was listening to me that Brother Bush would text me this morning. He said, thanks for doing it so early. I'm going to bed. He was ready to give up. I didn't know that. I just called to, or texted him to be a blessing. Let him know somebody cared. Somebody prayed. Can I tell you something? That's a neat way to live. That's a neat way to live. You will learn to love your pastor by praying for him. And you will not only get God to notice your pastor, God will notice you for noticing your pastor. Not only that, but God will not just bless his life. God won't just bless your life. God will bless the life of our church. And when you start seeing God answer those prayers, can I tell you something? That makes you want to pray more. That makes you encouraged enough to do more. And that's more people to pray for. And it just keeps on building itself. And can I tell you something? It's great. Now, I'm going to say this. I need you to pray for me. God holds me pretty accountable. Do you realize you can sin and not lose your position? But there are things that if I do wrong, I lose my position. You know, Moses lost his position because he lost his temper. You let me get up here and blow my stack one day and preach at one person or in one direction for spite, and I've just lost my credibility. That's kind of what Moses did. I can't do that. You say, did you ever want to? Who hasn't? Whether I've wanted to or not isn't the issue. I didn't. Can I tell you something? Satan will do all he can to take out the leader. I promise you. During World War II, the Japanese were trained to shoot anybody that had gold buttons. They knew the gold buttons and the gold medals meant leadership. And if they could destroy the leadership, everybody under them would be more confused and there was more chance to do more destruction. And that is exactly what the devil wants to do. He's going to try to take out the shepherd so the sheep will scatter so that he's got more sheep to chew on. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. Say, well, then what do we do? And by the way, sheep aren't real smart. And I don't mean that the wrong way. But if you've ever watched a bunch of sheep, you can march 100 sheep across somewhere, put a 2-foot little hump in front of them, and the first couple will jump. You could pull the hump out, and the other 97 are going to jump when there's nothing there. They just watched the other ones hop, so that's what they do, right in the same spot. You say, they wouldn't do that. Yes, they do. Sheep are so stupid, you can't take them to a place where there's fast-moving water. You can't water them in a fast-moving creek or river. Because they stick their head down in the water, and their noses are such that if the water's moving, it'll go in their nose, and they're too stupid to pull their head out of the water. They'll drown themselves drinking. That's why the Bible says, he leadeth me beside still waters. There are things that you don't know spiritually that will destroy you that I as a shepherd see, and if you're not careful, you'll walk right into the destruction because you didn't pray for the preacher and follow his leadership enough. I'm not asking for dictatorship, trust me. I don't lead that way. But I just happen to know enough about praying for the preacher. Samuel said, look, you better pray. You better pray for the leader. Because if the leader goes bad, you're going bad too. That's what that story in 1 Samuel 12 is all about. And I want you to notice, they were asking the man of God for the leadership, not the king. They went to the preacher, not the king. Say, why? King wasn't as in tune with God as the man of God was. Just not for my sake, for your sake, for your family's sake. I'm not asking for any of that for me. I just want you to know the blessings that go with it. I promise you, there will be blessings. Every head bowed, every eye closed. An awkward message, one I didn't want to give, I'll be honest with you. But I felt like it was one that you needed. Felt like I needed to do it. It's what the Lord wanted. But I wonder, what needs to happen in your life?